it's time to get to know your reviewer. So, as I'm sure our listeners know, that we at the end of a lot of our podcasts, we rate the movie on a scale of 1 to 10. But I don't know if you do know this, the 1 to 10 system is sort of a little different depending on who you're asking. So, we've come up with a handy way of illustrating what it is per each individual reviewer for you, our listener. And what we're going to do is we're going to go around the table, and each reviewer, Seth, Kevin, Chris, Herbert, and myself, are going to go down a list of 1 to 10, or 10 to 1, of and give you a film for each one. So then you'll know what's a 10, what's a 9, what's an 8, and what's a 1.
For each of us.
For each of us. So that way, it's a key, basically. It's a key to help you navigate.
A decoder ring. A veritable decoder ring.
Yeah, to help you navigate, a compass to help you navigate the stormy waters is this podcast.
So please take notes, because you will need to refer back to them in further podcasts.
1 is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. 2 can be as bad as 1. It's the loneliest number since the number 1.
Do you want to start us off, Seth?
I'd be happy to start. Yeah, sure. I'd like to go 1 to 10. We can go 10 to... Actually, no, let's go 10 to 1.
No, 1 to 10.
1 to 10 better. Because then you get the reveal the better.
Chris is a tiebreaker. What do you think, Chris?
1 to 10.
Hells yeah. Hells yeah.
All right. Well, I want to start off by saying, I said this before, anything below a 4 for me is something that is bad in some kind of maybe amoral, maybe just a complete lack of passion. And I feel like I've been wronged in some way. And I don't feel like that about anything above a four above. But okay, that being said, a number 1, you know, obviously is just bottom of the barrel. And in addition to being absolutely terrible and really an atrocious film, something that has, to me, some sort of nasty edge to it that maybe I think it's kind of evil or irresponsible or might negatively impact society or just something that just gives me a...
Really?
Just a re- bad in a special way. I chose the cliche example, but I did Alone in the Dark because, in addition to just being a textbook bad movie, Sean, I just think you described it the best when you just said it just sucks the life out of the room and you can't even make fun of it and have fun watching it because it sucks your soul out when you're in the same room as that movie.
It's frighteningly boring.
Yeah, it is. And no other movies had that effect on me. So that's a 1. A 2 is an extremely, extremely bad film. Not as dangerous as a 1. But still very, very bad. I have written down here for my number 2, I have Basic Instinct 2. I think I might actually want to amend that. No, I can keep that there. Yeah. Basic Instinct 2 is
we gave
atrocious.
A bunch of dirty looks.
That's a pretty terrible film.
It's terrible. I guess
it's a good 2.
The reason, my trepidations are the fact that putting that right next to Alone in the Dark, I mean, I had fun watching Basic Instinct 2 with you guys just joking around how bad it was, and I didn't have any fun in Alone in the Dark, but still, Basic Instinct 2 is an atrocious, just absolutely shitty movie.
And you're not going to watch Basic Instinct 2 by yourself.
No, never.
Ever.
I would not do that.
Under any circumstances.
No, not really.
You got to admit, I mean, Sharon Stone has a pretty banging ass, even at 60, yeah. Right?
She's
59 and a quarter.
What if you have to? Well, I'm not going to mention it. No.
Yeah, there could be circumstances I'd watch it alone if it were to save someone's life. Or
what's your 3?
My 3 is a movie... Yeah, you know, the difference between a 2 and a 3 is kind of a little vague, but something that is almost not terrible, but is terrible. And my example for that, I know some people might disagree, is the recent Transformers film, which I just thought it failed in every way an action movie should succeed, and failed in the ways you expect an action movie to fail to.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, I really I don't like that one at all. So a 4 for me is a movie that I say is out of the atrocious territory and into just a bad movie, but not awful and terrible. And so that for me is Hard Candy, which I very much do not like, but it's not as bad as the aforementioned films. A 5 is a movie that is either exactly average or close to average, give or take a little bit. So, you know, the stereotypical example for that is The Italian Job, the remake.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Herbert gets full credit because Herbert was the one who originally pointed out that that's the most average movie ever made. That it's like, just it's right in the middle.
It's painfully average. Watching that movie to see how this is like, my God, somebody had to go out and attempt to do this.
Yeah.
This isn't an accident.
Because statistically speaking, it should have at least something that's a little good or a little bad, but it doesn't. It's just average all the way through. That's Herbert gets credit for that one. A six is, like, a little better than average, and I just, yeah, it's good, but not great. And for that, that's Elf for me, the Will Ferrell vehicle. You know, it's good, but I just forgot about it very quickly after seeing it. A seven is, I had two movies for seven, because I had, it's going to seem like a weird combination, but I have House of Wax and Short Bus. And, let me explain my reasoning, though. I put House of Wax there because, House of Wax, I think, is better than it really had any right to be for the kind of movie it was. I was much more engaged than I thought I would be. Still, it's just kind of a shitty horror movie, so it's not gonna be that high. But I was a little more impressed with what it was. Short Bus, obviously trying to do something very different than House of Wax, is I thought it had really good stuff in it, and it kind of almost was great, but not quite. You know, but it almost was there. So that's a seven. And an eight is kind of movie I definitely would say solid, really good movie is an 8. My example for that is Out of Time, starring Denzel Washington. It's a great little underrated thriller, I think.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. And 8's, yeah, 8's I say good. 9 is where I say, yeah, great, great movie. And the difference between 9 and 10 is the 10s are, yeah, one of the best films I've seen. And just where I can would say I have nothing but great things to say about it. The 9s are the ones that still really great. There's maybe a little bit short of being fantastic. So for a 9, I have The Spanish Prisoner. And for a 10, I have Zodiac. So, yeah, that's my scale.
All right, well, who wants to go next? Kevin?
Yes,
I will.
Explaining his crazy 1 through 10.
Kaiser scale is perhaps the most different, but maybe
the most, it's the most controversial of
these. Indeed. Elementary school.
Yeah, and every other school. The my scale is mostly the idea behind it is, if there's an idea, is the percentage scale of grading tests. So 100% is great. 50% is still an F. So for me, 1, it's obvious, the most obvious is Postal, is just the worst movie of all time.
That's not that bad of a movie.
I can't discuss how bad it was.
American audiences are just a little too freaked out by it.
You can't take shit so seriously.
Yeah, so a 1 is...
not trying to win an Oscar.
Yeah. So a 1 is one of the worst movies of all time. You could put it next to any of those worst movies and it would easily stand up as a contender. And it has to be painful throughout and have no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Honestly, to me, I wouldn't put... The lower the budget, the less likely it is to make it to 1 status, because you have to put in some money to make it be that angry about it.
I agree.
For number 2 is Highlander 2.
Oh, no.
They're yeah.
Highlander 2, I haven't seen Highlander 2. I don't really like Highlander 1.
So why would you say
I like the Highlander concept.
I like exactly, and that's
so
why it's a 2.
So you'll defend a sequel you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Well, I was just...
Because you like the concept of the first
one. No, I was just surprised that Highlander entered the fray. I just wasn't expecting to talk about it.
Because what stops a 2 from being a 1 is just, you know, small shreds of something that make you think, well, this could someday have actually been a good movie. It's not, you know, it is painful. It's not good to watch. It's not so bad it's funny. It's just bad.
You're not completely broken by
right,
it.
Exactly.
It's not like you've been obliterated.
Right. And you think, well, I can see why somebody might make this movie completely by accident. For 3, I have 10 Things I Hate About You. Which has a 3 to me has likable elements, even though the movie itself is very unlikable, and it's painful to actually sit through a 3. 3 is the highest you can get while still being painful throughout. And 10 Things I Hate About You is sort of an odd case because it's fun for me as not as a movie going experience, but as a spotting my friends as extras experience. 4, I put The Village. There's some good things, and there's definitely elements of goodness in there, and there's some effort that's put into it, but it's definitely a bad movie. 5, I put Mean Girls. I knew I'd get an awe from you. Man, because it's definitely bad, but no! Some of that might be due to preference of individual elements. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, 5, it could be, maybe it'd be better if I liked X, Y, or Z about that kind of thing.
Your scale's much more well thought out. Thank you.
Can I point out that the minute he stopped giving his ratings, Seth began gobbling down ice cream?
I'm not gobbling down ice cream. I'm eating with a fork because you guys don't have any clean spoons.
That may be. I'm just saying. Eating ice cream during a podcast? That's like eating a Snickers bar while talking on the phone.
that's not considered unacceptable.
I think it's a snafu.
For a 6, I have Mallrats, because a 6 to me is very close to good. It either had, you know, like an ending that really just didn't do it for me, or elements throughout that I just wouldn't wit. So Leatherheads, I think I gave a 6, and I stand by that. It's just sort of like you can see good things in it, but it just didn't really happen for me. So 7, it's good. 7 is Love Actually. It's definitely good. It's not approaching great for me. But you definitely have a good time. Seeing a 7, that was a good day, you know? 8, I put Catch Me If You Can, because for an 8, it's wow, that was really good. I had a great time. You should really go see that. There, you know, there are problems. It wasn't the best movie ever. It wasn't great, but I had a really good time seeing it. That's an 8. For 9, I have Sin City, because it's just absolutely unassailably great.
Yeah!
There are problems.
No!
But
Sin City is perfect.
Okay, well, it's a bad example then. But there are problems either in concept or execution, but they're just a couple, and that's what stopped me from being a 10. Mm-hmm. And I would think that probably some of my favorite movies would actually be 9s, technically,
right.
But because of something, then it's, that's a 10 because I love it.
Maybe it's just your own personal tilt to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But technically, it's, you know, maybe it is a 9, but it's still my favorite. So 10, I did put one of my favorite movies, Magnolia, because for me, it is the perfect execution of a phenomenal idea. It works all the way throughout. You can watch it for any of its elements. The, you know, everything is working in synergy and making just a phenomenal, better than the sum of its parts, ass-kicking good time. And for something to be my favorite movie, I would think, or in my favorite movies, would be something that I have to be able to not be able to draw myself away from. So, like, Magnolia the other day, I was like, oh, I'll just watch the intro. I was like, man, that's good. And then I kept watching, and then I, you know, 3 hours later, I was done. And then it was just sort of like starting to eat
but
up.
It felt like 6 hours.
6 wonderful, 6 hours.
Yeah, if only. I wish that was a 6-hour movie.
Yeah, me too.
but that is that.
Well, you see, I think the problem I have with your scale is that there's more numbers
for
dedicated to bad films than good films.
Mine's like that, too.
No, it's really. True. It doesn't let you pussyfoot around the way Sean Sterling is.
I don't have, you know, either I have a good time at the movie or I didn't. And if I had a good time,
but
then that's worth
so much. It's indicative, I think, who you are. You're so much more negative.
No, I think you know,
I almost never watch negative movies except for with you guys.
I want to say, Kevin, your scale is much more well thought out than mine. And I think I might just dump my whole scale just to kind of agree with yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Yours is more eloquent than
mine. Yeah, I might do the same thing.
Who's the winner?
Well, maybe we'll change our minds when Sean gives his scale. Right.
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, I mean, basically, you know, 1 through 10, 1 being the absolute worst and 10 being the greatest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like 1 and 10, they have to be sort of, in a certain sense, life-changing. Not necessarily like you're completely transformed by it, but there's definitely it's pushing the boundaries of your emotions, right. Whether it be positively or negatively. So I feel like my scale, perhaps different from Kevin's, which is sort of more left-brained oriented. Mine's sure. Sort of more emotional, so it's sort of based on the the opposite ends of your emotions. So 10 being the greatest, 1 being the worst, and then 5 being smack in the middle in neutral territory.
If I can cut in, I will say that I don't like the number system. That I think that the number system is a bad system.
Yeah, we do.
Right, and
we force you to play along.
And based on my emotions, something could be a 6 when it should be a 7. You know, depending on how I feel and how excited I am, how recently I've seen it, how much I remember of it, etc. So there is emotion in mine too.
I understand. Also,
you can't quantify heart.
Also, I should point out that I feel like maybe Kevin and I think maybe Hurlburt as well will sort of change their numbers based on technical merit or like sort of cinematic merit and not like award certain points to just films that are just they're emotionally linked to. I might not necessarily do that. It's more just an issue of favorites for me because I feel like I feel like in a certain sense like the movies I really care about are sort of you know people unto themselves and I definitely form strong attachments to them and you know you like people for their strengths but you love people for their flaws and I sort of feel like
I
about a lot of films.
Honestly, just before you started, I should say I think for what you said there's I'd say like 80% of the time for me the grade that I would give it personally and what I would think it objectively its objective qualities movie it's the same but then there is that 20% of the time where I really like a movie like you know Darkman is one of my favorite movies but it's not one of the best movies ever made by any stretch of the imagination you know and I'd probably give that movie an 8.5 as far as my enjoyment, but you know it's well, I don't know 4 maybe as far as how good of a film it is.
Darkman definitely challenges the numbers. it's challenging work,
yeah, it's,
but
if it's a rule, I'll get to it.
Without further ado, here's my list. So 1 being one of the absolute worst films I've ever seen. I'm gonna put Rock and Roll High School on. I don't know who's seen it out there, but. If you know me, you could guess as to why Rock and Roll High School might be one of the worst.
That movie was tailor-made to piss you off.
It might be one of the worst experiences I've had sitting through a film. Every single inch of the film is poorly constructed for what they're trying to do. And what they're trying to do, I feel, has such little to offer anyone. To see something that is not worth doing done terribly. And then...
Come on, I saw you your first touchdown. Clint Howard's in it as a swinging young man.
And then to boot, the whole thing is just peppered with terrible, awful jokes and horrible miscues and just... It's a complete train wreck, and I felt...
But you love the soundtrack.
No. It's a love letter to the Ramones, which is a band I don't like. It's just... It is completely disagreeable with me on every single level, and I felt absolutely terrible after watching. So there's a 1. Now, a 2 that is also very bad, but not as affecting as a 1. It's just like, oh, God, that is just a terrible time at the movies. And maybe it'll stay with you maybe to the rest of the day. I'm like, oh, God, you'll think before you go to bed, that was a really shitty movie that I just saw. But, I mean, it probably won't stay with you that much unless someone like your buddy makes a joke about it, and then you can have a laugh. But
your buddy being another member of the club.
Perhaps. Probably. So I put Friday the 13th, part 6, A New Beginning. a lot of the Friday the 13th movies might qualify as 2s. A lot of horror films qualify as 2s. They're just bottom of the barrel filmmaking. But
fish in a barrel.
Not necessarily. But bottom of the barrel filmmaking, but not necessarily soul damaging. So truly terrible stuff. 3 is very, very bad. Very bad, but forgettable in a certain sense. Not really too damaging, but still a bad, bad time at the movies. I put Running Scared for that. That is just a bad film.
Nope.
Might not necessarily stay with you for that long, because I think you can also see a 3 and not necessarily have a strong visceral reaction to it, just sort of have a meh reaction. And then just by thinking about it over and over, just sort of gradually lower its stock throughout the day.
Like 21.
Maybe, yeah. So that's a 3. A 4 is, I think in a certain sense, some of the worst movies are the movies that are almost average, but then don't quite reach it.
Yeah.
So you can't quite give them a pass. They just sort of hover below the area where you can start saying okay things about it. And I'm going to put Godzilla the remake of Godzilla. I think that's a good example because it has things that you might like if they were done properly, and they are not.
Big lizards tearing shit up.
It doesn't create.
Can't do that right though.
It doesn't create an offense that's so terrible to sort of take you out of it, and it's just not a good movie. It's just a lame movie. Lame is the optimal adjective.
Puff Daddy's really awesome though.
And then 5, middle of the road, an okay film. I can see not recommending certain 5s, but nothing too offensive here. Either it's a combination of high and lows that sort of even out, or it's just something that you don't feel particularly strongly about one way or the other. But it's something that doesn't keep you bored. Because as soon as it starts to become boring, it becomes a 4. But it's something that's not boring, but it's completely out of your head when it's over with. And I'd say Live Free or Die Hard is a good 5. That is not a very entertaining movie.
Oh, it's pretty entertaining.
But it is completely gone. Still
remember some lines from it.
At the end.
Oh, my headlights! They've been hacked!
Not up to snuff with the other Die Hards, but it could have been worse. And then 6. We're getting into, movies I like now. Like Spider-Man. Spider-Man's my 6. I like Spider-Man, and that is a good film. But, I'm not going to rush out to see it every chance I get. If they're showing Spider-Man down at the Castro Theater, I'm probably not going to track it down and see it on the big screen again. And,
you don't have to track it down if you know it's at the Castro.
that's more to do with your personal feelings about going to the Castro.
That is a horrible joke. There are often probably a lot of problems you could point to it and say, oh, I wish they did this or I wish they did that. But there's still good that's going on there, and you definitely enjoyed your experience. It was a good time of the movies. Maybe some problems, but the problems didn't detract enough to make it a negative experience or even an okay experience. It was entertaining. And now, 7, that is a good film. That is when someone asks me, hey, have you seen any good movies recently? I'd say, oh, yeah, well, I saw this. Blank. Or in this case, Napoleon Dynamite, which is a funny, funny movie, an original movie, and that is a good movie. Not very good or not great. It's not going to be something.
Not very original,
It is original. It is original. It is a lot of fun.
Not if you've ever seen a Wes Anderson
movie. It is not. That's a separate conversation. But that is a good film, and that is something I would recommend. More so than something like Spider-Man, which is a 6, but, clearly Spider-Man.
Doesn't need to be recommended.
Now 8. This is going to stuff that I might consider buying and things that are very, very good, or even like films that I would really, really thoroughly enjoy and think about for a while, but not necessarily want to revisit that much or buy. I'd still say would qualify. These are just really, really good films. This is what an 8 would be something you want to strive for as a filmmaker. And
not a 10. You should just start for an 8.
Then when you hit 3, it's not so bad.
Well, I mean, 8 relative to 9 and 10, 9 and 10 sort of get into more personal levels. You could have, I feel like, a perfect film or a close to perfect film, and I would still necessarily give it an 8 if it's just not as personally rewarding to me.
So you're like the college professor everyone hates.
Yeah.
Grade their papers and you're sort of the wind coddle of your reality.
We'll wait to your list, and I can sort of throw stones at you.
No, because mine's perfect.
But so a good example of that, I feel, is The Lives of Others, which is a foreign film. It's about surveillance in East Berlin before the fall of the Soviet Union, sort of a couple years before the fall of the Soviet Union. It's very, very, very good. It is a very good movie. Not something that I'm probably going to buy, but it is very good, and I would certainly wouldn't mind being a part of a film like that, because it is very, very high quality from top to bottom. And there's an 8. Now a 9, my number 9 is going to be Barry Lyndon, and that is a great movie. That is just a movie that...
Wait, what movie?
Barry Lyndon. That's a Stanley Kubrick film. It's a period piece. I think a 15th century period piece about a sort of an Irish social climber who works himself up from a...
Well, period pieces are all kind of boring, though. So that's
basically from peasant status to a nobleman. And it's very good. It's very grand. And it is filmmaking of the highest order. But I would not call it necessarily one of my favorite films, but it is still top-notch from top to bottom. I contemplate buying it every more often than not.
Why your scale seems to be based on how willing you are to buy the movie?
I mean, I think that's a strong, that's a good litmus test to how you feel about a film.
Yeah, show and disagree.
I think you're thinking of Barry Bonds. While he does have sort of a rags to riches tale, wasn't quite as inspirational.
No, great films are nines, in my opinion. And my favorite films, high art, in my opinion, and films that will stay with me, presumably for the rest of my life, unless they fall out of my favor, which rarely happens for films that I consider to be tens, are tens. So, like, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is one of my favorite films, and has been for a while now, is going to be what I nominate for a 10. That is just, I can't say enough good things about it.
I agree. I will second the nomination for a 10.
Now, Chris is being a joker here. He's being a knucklehead. So let's hear about his list.
I don't know what you're talking about. Unless you have some sort of visual proof of my antics, I think you're up the creek without a paddle. That movie isn't on my list.
I haven't thought about that movie. Oh, man, I forgot that existed.
All right.
Dax Shepard.
My one is Troll.
Good. That's a good choice for a one.
My two.
Better than Troll 2.
My two is... Troll's better than Troll 2?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Somebody call the firing squad.
Yeah, because
you're fired.
So we can shoot him, and then we can sit them down and let them watch my number two, Firewall.
And then you get put on trial for...
Yes, Firewall is my number two. Devoid of any passion. At its best, it would have been terrible. There's no way to execute the concept cleanly. Harrison Ford's old and tired and bloated and kills a man with a blender. My three is Super Mario Brothers, which... Despite what the two
people... Disagree with so much.
Yeah, well... Thankfully, you won't encounter this kind of naysaying anywhere else on planet Earth.
Thankfully, I don't have your grade scale, because I would be depressed.
I'm up at night crying that I don't like Super Mario Brothers.
I should take it off.
Super Mario Brothers, you haven't seen it. It in no way even attempts to be a movie about the Super Mario Brothers, and that's probably the least of its crimes. Four, we have Airplane 2.
Oh, come on. It's, I didn't even know you hated it that much.
I don't. It's a four. It's a little below average.
It's a funny movie, though.
No.
It's just not as good as the first one.
What about
the William Shatner cameo? You don't like that?
I don't even remember that. I don't like William Shatner like you do, though.
I'll have a cherry soda.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, so yeah, we got Airplane 2 clocking at number 4. Number 5, Independence Day. Big budget, lots of action. Has one line, really, that I like.
Plow the field.
All right, boys. Plow the field.
Independence Day is a great film.
It's in actuality, it's big and flashy, but it doesn't really have a lot to say or move me on any particular level. Mainly because I philosophically don't really place a lot of dignity or emphasis or deep meaning on humanity as a species. Number six.
A window into Chris's soul.
Aliens could have won
more than over. I have no evidence they'd be worse leaders of the planet than we would.
They'd be worse to us than we would.
Well, certainly, but
they'd be worse to you than the other human.
Cats would be worse to me than I would, but they'd be a lot better for cats, is what I'm saying. It's all objective.
It's objective when an alien race comes to dominate
subjective.
Our planet.
Whatever. At six, we have the 1962 version of Cape Fear. Probably could go higher if I see it again and I'm in a good mood, but it's very good. Much better than the remake of Cape Fear, which is a travesty of the highest order.
Not quite true, but it is definitely better, I would say, altogether.
Yeah, well, agree to disagree.
Indeed.
You say tomato, I say travesty.
No one says tomato.
Seven, we have Airplane, the first one.
It's a funny movie.
It is funny. It's not at the point where I would consider it sort of a great movie for me, but it does hold the distinction of being pretty much the only movie where if it's playing on TV at like 3 in the morning and I really need to get to sleep, if I see it on, I just can't go to sleep. I just end up watching it. Because I'm always kind of in the mood to watch it.
Surely you're
joking. I like that with The Replacements.
always less watch. Worthy.
Well, you know.
Number 8 is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Which, similarly, I'm kind of always in the mood to watch it. I feel like it utilizes George Clooney's sort of physical brand of comedy better than anything he's ever been in. And I think it's a delightful movie. My 9 is High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Which is also, you know, it's pretty good. And my 10.
That was your favorite movie of all time for a while.
No, it's
that's pretty, a 9. Pretty that's good. Pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, as I grow older, I lose the ability and desire to deal in absolutes as much. 10 is Night of the Hunter.
That's one of your favorite films.
Yes.
I think we should probably add as a suffix to this is that I think Chris likes about 20 films in general. I think we just heard about 5 of them.
That's a good point.
That's actually untrue. You see, Sean Sterling kind of likes to sort of absorb as much trite, mass-produced swill as he can and sort of slosh it around in his mouth like mouthwash for a while and then spit out only the truly intolerable and sort of take the harmless schlock as God's word. Me, I tend to be more of a caviar man. Guilty if I seem a bit too harsh on some movies, but I think I've earned the right by you know, the free market has spoken. I have to make my voice heard with the almighty dollar.
The free market.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why joy and true happiness is missing from your life.
Oh, I got
you. Hate everything.
That's not the reason. There are reasons. That's not it.
Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms.
Seen your guys' tastes in my head, and this is just relative to the movies I enjoy. Is Chris, I don't think you like enough movies, and Sean, I think you like too many movies. That's just relative to me. I don't think that's an objective.
I'll start liking them when they start making them.
For me, I've always viewed all of you guys as different facets of my personality.
Oh, really?
So I always agree with one of you, it feels like.
Yeah.
And so it's a delight to hear parts of me talking to me. It's like Herman's head.
Hurlbert, bring us home. What's your list like?
All right. The reason I go to see movies is for two reasons. One, to be entertained, and two, to feel something, to have an emotion, just, you know, something that was, you know, that the movie gave me, this that really kind of moved me in a way. That's
sorry, I shouldn't have popped that bubble.
I love films, so hopefully, you know, it does one of those two things. So first off, starting with the one scale, the worst, the way that I define one, though, it's I've only given one film ever a one. I define one as pretty much it being the absolute worst. I mean, that is pretty much saying there is no redeeming quality in it. Just I look at it and I know I'm a worse person for having seen it. And I question especially for this movie, I question why, because I actively sought it out because I knew it was going to be a bad movie. And then I got it, and I was just horrified at how bad it was, and that is Wit, the 2000 the film that came out due to Amanda Peet kind of getting big with the whole 9 yards, and they kind of dusted it off the shelves. of hell. I cannot think of anything worse in life than being stuck in a room living forever and having to watch Whip constantly. Because, I mean, you could add other elements to, like, me where, like, people are stabbing me or maybe, like, ripping off my flesh. But I'm already watching Whip, so that means I'm maybe, like, feeling pain. Because I've been so dumbed down by Whip, so then that's an added thing.
It's a pretty bad film.
Uh-huh. And that's the only film I so far I've seen that I can't say anything positive about.
So you wouldn't give a...
I can't say, like, a positive sentence. Like they, like, oh, I like the way the actor used the word A in it. I can't say anything.
So you wouldn't give Postal one?
No, Postal, I mean, that comes to number two. Ooh. Two, I consider pretty much, like, that is the word, those are, like, that's the category for general worst films ever made that, you know, Hollywood can produce, and that's the two area. And for that, I would give... The Omen remake, which I really do hate, but there are some, like I said, redeeming qualities that, like, the only redeeming quality I was able to find in the Omen remake was Julia Stiles' character, because she's the only one who kind of had any idea what was going on. Her problem was, Damien's trying to kill me. Somebody please help me so Damien doesn't kill me, while everybody else is like, oh, Damien, he's cool, don't worry, he's not going to hurt you. And it's just, it really angers me, films in the two area, just it's how willing, especially, like, with films with money,
yeah,
are just willing to go to insult me and just not want to try and actually put anything forward in trying to entertain me or make me feel something. Three is getting into just the bad area. That's what, you know, what you would generally give a film. It's like, oh, that was bad. You're going to say that's a three. And that would be X-Men The Last Stand.
That's a good three.
That is, oh, it's bad, because, I mean, added to the fact that X-Men 3, The Last, I mean, if X-Men The Last Stand came out by itself, and that was the first X-Men movie, I would probably give it a four. But just since it was preceded by two excellent films, I think.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you. Excellent films. It's just, it immediately just falls, because, I mean, just, I can't, it's just poorly executed with direction, writing, this how it all comes together. It's just, you're just scratching your head, just like, how did this happen?
Was that Brett Ratner?
Of course.
That was a Brett Ratner masterpiece. Four is...
You call it a Ratner piece?
Yeah.
The Rat Meister.
Four is, yeah, just, you know, it's, you know, kind of, it's where you just want to say, yeah, that was, yeah, well, that's just a movie. And that would go to Ghost Rider.
Oh,
I would like to, this is what
I'm
differentiates my 2 to 4 range can easily be adjusted, because there's Ghost Rider is a movie I did enjoy, like you said, with Dark, which Dark, and there's, yeah, there are bad movies that I can enjoy, but for the life of me, if it's still a bad movie, like the direction, everything was bad, I cannot, it has to stay in the 2 to 4 range. I will not let it escape that, just right, because it entertained me. I'm not going to let it get this, you know, kind of skirt its way out of there and just, like, you know, take a free ride to get into the 5 range.
I will gladly promote it, should it entertain me.
Yeah, Ghost Rider is a fun movie, but it's just, at the end of it, if you took out the, you know, it's like, ugh, that's, you know, you can't really say too much about it other than, like, you know. Then going into the average range, I would, yeah, Seth took my, just the most average,
yeah,
way ever made. Italian job, but no, it's alright. Average for me would be Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I'm a big fan of Harry Potter, but very much the first Harry Potter movie is just plainly average. I was entertained by it, I had fun with it, but just, it's long, and just, you're just left like, and just, you're kind of left with a smile on your face throughout most of it, but it's just at the end of it, it's like, ooh, that's not gonna make me a Harry Potter fan. And it didn't, I didn't become a Harry Potter fan until the third movie.
Born from an egg on a mountaintop, the funkiest monkey that ever rocked. He knew every magic trick under the sun. Tease the gods and everyone and have some fun. Monkey magic, monkey magic, monkey magic.
This is basically just, I found something in it that I liked, something good while amongst the averageness. And it's pretty, it's, you can do that. The one that I came up with was The Lost World, Jurassic Park, one of Steven Spielberg's weaker efforts. I love Steven Spielberg, but yeah, that's a weaker effort of his. And The Lost World pretty much is just average all the way throughout. The only saving grace for me is Jeff Goldblum's character, who I like immensely, because I'm a huge fan of Jeff Goldblum. Just the way he acts, it just immediately raises the bar of an average film for me. He's better than the dinosaurs in that film. A 7 for me.
Ooh, hey.
A seven for me is where an actual good movie. Where, like Sean said, that's when I'll finally, you know, recommend, like, you know, hey, you should really go out and see this movie. And that's X-Men. The first X-Men for me is really, really great.
It's a good one.
Yeah, It's really good.
It's a good one.
And I would, you know, I would highly recommend that to people as far as just, you know, a movie to see and be enjoyed and entertained.
You got any good, have you seen any good movies about mutants that sort of team up and have powers? Or just not necessarily mutants, but people have powers.
I've always wanted.
Yeah, Fantastic Four. The best part about that is they're people first.
Yeah.
They still have to do.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four movies were relegated in my 2 to 4 category, because I can only say one movie. number 8 would be, yes, that's where I would actually legitimately say these are getting into, like, my favorite films, but 8 is just, like, there's a few, like, things holding it back as far as just from, like, a technical standpoint, like, maybe it's lacking in some things here or there, but it's still just, I mean, I'm invested in it emotionally. That's where that's when I really get into something. And an 8 for me is Gross Point Blank. George Armitage direction in that isn't, like, the fanciest of things, but, I mean, it has a very just quick-witted screenplay. John Cusack is just really likable. I like the story a whole lot, and just I get caught up in it, and you know my heart's invested in it. 9 is that's where I really kind of lose myself to the movie, where just I completely buy into what it wants to give me, and I'm just wholeheartedly on board with it, and that would go to Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, which, because I mean. Even that is able to even overcome stuff because there's a few pacing problems with it, but just
one big pacing problem, which is it's too damn slow.
Shut up.
But it is a cool movie.
There's some just a pacing, but I mean, just I'm completely, I buy into its world, and I wish I was a part of it.
So much.
I wish I could just be in there and just like having the adventures that they're having, and that's I love my 9s. And 10 is, that's the movies that get to me and change me. And just, like, I see it and I can only think about that movie for, like, days on end. I'm, like, kind of haunted and just, like, I feel kind of saddened at the fact that the movie's over and I can't exist and I can't keep watching it and I can't be a part of something like that because I've become so attached to what I'm seeing. And the one I put for that one is The Iron Giant, which I hold a very special place in my heart. And although it's not my favorite film of all time, I consider it the film that, if the human race dies out, I hope it's the film that an alien race comes upon, discovers, and sees it, because I think it contains in it the greatness of humanity.
They might not get the Superman references, though, sadly.
There's enough visual representation, because it shows in the comic books, so, you know, hopefully the alien races, they have interstellar travel, and hopefully they understand what that is about. And those are my 10s for me. They really, really mean something to me.
Now,
who I am.
Now is probably the time I should point out, I've already said that about The Iron Giant before, and I've stolen that description from you, almost word for word, and applied it. I feel that way about the UK Office TV series.
Oh, yeah.
But just so you know, I really like the way you phrase that, and that's exactly how I feel about it.
Out of all the voice actors in The Iron Giant, if the aliens find The Iron Giant and they want to use their alien technology to resurrect one of the voice actors through the DVD, who would you be your pick? Who
Vin
should be
Diesel.
Brought back to live with the aliens?
Vin Diesel's in that?
Yeah,
he's the
giant.
I've never seen
The Iron Giant.
Vin Diesel, Christopher McDonald, who?
Christopher, who the hell picks Christopher McDonald?
I mean, probably,
sorry, Chris.
Well, I mean, this as far as just, you know, just to see, it would have to be, you know, I don't know who the actor, I mean, who the actor is, or who, like, they're going to resurrect, and that'll be the actor playing that character?
No, it'll just be the guy, the voice actor, it'll just be the actor.
Oh, who would be the most interesting, then?
No, not, who gets saved? Who do the aliens get to live with?
Well, they get Hogarth Hughes, the kid actor who voiced him, because, you know, imagine just, you know, he's the innocent amongst all that.
He also has
so
the dumbest name.
For him, then, he's aged at this point.
Yeah, well, of course he's gonna bring back his kid form. That'd be ridiculous if he bring back his decrepit old form. He'd be dead.
Will he have the memories? Will he have the memories he had before he died?
I have to hand it to you. The best mindfuck yet.
I hope this. I hope this whole segment was very useful to everyone. I hope that our listeners now have a window into our personal tastes, as eclectic and odd as they might seem to some. But these are who we are. These are the reviewers we are. And I hope that you enjoy our podcast, and I hope that you've enjoyed this individual segment.